Beloved heart dwellers, may the Lord's peace be yours, and may you abound in understanding more and more each day what brings him happiness and gives you joy. I asked him, Lord, what would you have to say to your precious family? And he asked me, well, what's been on your heart? And I said, well, I've been feeling like we needed to do a teaching on prayer, and that had been a request. And he said, a teaching on prayer. So I began. Lately, my sweet family, with a few new arrivals here at the Hermitage, I'm learning more about prayer and understanding more the state of the church and the world. Jesus began, it's not so much about how you pray, beloved, as it is the disposition to have your prayers answered in the affirmative. Like any good father, I want to answer your prayers and bring you joy. But sometimes you're not positioned to get results that you seek from me. There are as many things that block the answer to prayer as stars in the sky. It all boils down to a well-disposed heart, a clean conscience, and being within the framework of my will for your life, without tempting you into pride and vainglory. I long to answer your prayers, but you do not always understand the repercussions in your life that will result from giving you what you ask for. Are you in my will? Are you asking for others? Are they in a position to learn from what you seek for them? Will it benefit them or cause anguish? So many things I prevent because I know the end result will not be good for that soul. Ask in accordance with my will, and your prayers will surely be answered, although there may be delay involved, for I am constantly stretching your faith and bringing you deeper into trusting me. I want you to ask these things before you present a petition to me. Number one, Lord, is this your will for me or for them? Number two, will this do damage to others? Number three, is there sin or unforgiveness in your or their life? Number four, how will you use the positive answer to prayer? And number five, will it cause distraction or deeper intimacy with me? Very often, your great neediness brings you much closer to me. Number six, will it cause pride or vainglory or any potential damage in the long run? Number seven, will it benefit the kingdom of God on earth or is it selfish? And number eight, are you sufficiently grounded in spiritual warfare that you can handle the backlash? Jesus continued, these are some of the considerations I must go through before giving an affirmative answer in prayer. And then sometimes, when you get what you ask for, you realize there is a price to pay that you did not anticipate. In fact, I must say, there is always a price to pay that you did not anticipate. Rarely does a soul look far enough ahead to understand situations and repercussions. What is deep in your heart? Is it your own personal world or my kingdom? I long to see your heart in unison with mine. But this takes time and cleansing from contaminated influences. I long for you to be one with me so that together we can accomplish the most good for souls. This is not something you can acquire overnight. It takes many hours of gutting it out and emptying yourself of pride, fear, presumption, and so many other unhealthy tendencies you've accumulated growing up in the world. If your heart is riveted on me and on my agenda only, It doesn't take as long as one who is deeply entrenched in worldly comforts. The comfort I give you, my dearest ones, cannot be mixed with the comforts of the world, which overpower the sweetness of my spirit. So it takes time to empty oneself of these things and make room for my spirit and my heart to dominate your consciousness. Then there is the matter of weaknesses. For instance, Mother Claire has some weaknesses she has not been able to overcome, although she's tried many times. But her heart is of such a disposition that I can still use her to help others. I work with you the way you are, my dear ones. I see what is within your power to change and what is too much of a stretch at the present time, and I adjust your missions accordingly. I love littleness. I love the soul who is honest about their shortcomings. I love the soul that does not cast a slur on others or judge them, either in the hidden recesses of their hearts and minds or with their mouths. I turn away from those who judge and draw near to those who, knowing their own faults, dismiss or cover for the faults of others and pray for them. This is highly pleasing to me and allows me to bestow many more graces and gifts. It is the soul who feels that they have arrived that I avoid until they repent for their pride and begin the long journey towards humility, which means acknowledging what they see in my mirror. With that understanding must come the petition to me. Lord, I see the sinfulness in my soul you are revealing. Please change me. When I hear those words, I rejoice. So few are willing to be changed. So few. Yet what awaits the ones who long to be perfect is beyond their comprehension in graces and glory. It is when this cycle is complete, seeing and wanting to change, that I can say to them, "Oh, my bride, you are lovely. How beautiful you are, my dove." Once you've experienced your true nature, you become a different person, one that dares not point the finger or become impatient with others or lose your grasp on charity towards them. My mother is one such soul. She continually advocates for the souls in her charge, those who have devoted themselves to pleasing me in thought, word, and deed. Those whose hearts ache for the same things my heart aches for. Oh, Claire, unite yourself more and more with my sufferings. Bring me comfort, my bride, with your charitable prayers coming from a motive of patience and standing under the soul, seeing the help they are calling out for. You can do this with my grace, and I long to see you engaged in this more and more, especially with your enemies. Lord, how do you advocate for someone who has chosen to serve Satan? He replied, "Ask yourself what events in their lives led them to believe serving Satan was better than serving me. Were they molested by a minister as a child? Were they beaten mercilessly by their parents and sought protection by turning to curses? Were they desperate for love and the only ones who seemed to care were in a coven? Were they seeking protection in numbers and force because they were beaten till they were so low they didn't know where to turn? And were they offered hope by a witch? Were they brought into the coven at an early age and forced to commit a crime such as murdering a baby? These things are very common where you live. Satan knows how to make a soul captive to him and keep them there. What these people do not understand is that I will forgive them if they turn to me. They are led to believe that Satan is equal to me, but a much nicer person. They have seen judgment and hypocrisy in churches, so they believe that is my nature. If only they would give me a chance. Not a minister, not a person, but me. If they would come to me, I would receive them with open arms and gently lead them to freedom. Satan hates that word, freedom, because his entire existence has been caught up in binding souls to himself through guilt or through rewards or through lies. All venues are used. Depending on the soul's disposition and education, he makes his presentations very alluring. He's a master at lying, and so the soul believes he is good and I am bad. The only way to convince them otherwise is through love, pure, unconditional love that they have never experienced except through the trickery of Satan and his demons. And I want to mention something here. I'm sure they've had visions of glory, the Satanists. I'm sure they've been shown palaces and great gifts and things like that. And those are all projections in the spirit world. They're not real. They're totally just projections, because Satan does not have any access to any of that. Only God has that in heaven and continuing with the Lord. This is why I told you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do good to those who slander and abuse you. Show them the same love I have given you, beloved. Pour out my goodness to those who do not know me, and pray for them, for you may be their only hope. Now I have spoken these things to you, Claire, because you are surrounded by those who practice the dark ways. Yes, you have seen them even in high positions in the county. Very few would believe that these superficially nice people are deeply committed to Satan and destroying all good in this world. My people, pray for those who have been groomed by the enemy to suppress all that is good and increase what is evil. They are a sad lot that does not know their outcome is eternal torment. They have bought into the lies and conditioning of the devil to believe that they will inherit a kingdom. Yes, indeed, they will inherit the eternal lake of fire if they do not come to their senses, if someone doesn't intercede for them, if they do not yield to the truth. And that was the end of his message. And here's the prayer I was given for the conversion of witches. If you say this for 30 consecutive days, naming the person, the Lord will give them the grace of conversion. If they do not accept it, it will go to another soul who will. Dearest Jesus, I present to you the soul of, put the name there, who has abandoned their soul to Satan. Please take this soul and redeem them in your holy eyes. Free their soul from slavery to the beast and bring them eternal salvation. Amen. And we're asked to pray this for 30 consecutive days using the person's name. So the Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers. Thank you so much for being a constant support in prayer and in other ways. I so much appreciate it. And please, let's all gather together and pray for our enemies. And we're getting a bit of persecution from the county, so we need your prayers.